So yeah, this evening I just wanted to sort of just talk a little bit about us being our father's children. It's kind of, in a sense, nothing new, but just a sort of little refresher, and just really something of what I've been sort of meditating on over the last few weeks. Just coming back to that place of relationship and how important relationship is, relationship with our Heavenly Father, relationship with one another. You know, one of the things that is, I think that I've really seen is so vital, and just seen it again over the last few months, is how important it is to see everything in the context of relationship. You know, it's very easy to read some scriptures, and if we don't set them in the context of relationship, they can appear a little bit hard or a little bit dry or just a little bit difficult to sort of understand. But the moment we set them in the context of relationship, they make so much sense. And you know, everything that I'm looking at the moment, everything that I'm thinking about, I'm trying to put in that context of my relationship with my father, because that's the only way it makes sense, is to sort of think, yes, this is a relationship, this is a love relationship, this is an intimate relationship, this is not a set of rules, this is not something I have to do, but this is just who I am and who he is. And so I just want to talk a little bit just about us being his children. I think one of the most special and probably one of the most powerful verses in the Bible is this one from 1 John chapter 3 verse 1. And it's a very, very familiar verse. You know, we know it well, but I keep coming back to this verse because somehow John has really caught hold of what this is all about. You know, he's summed up in a couple of sentences what the gospel is about, what our walk with God is all about, what our walk with one another is all about. And John writes here, he says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. You know, it's like he punches it home with that last statement. That's what we are. That's who we are. That's who you and I are. Each one of us is a son or a daughter. Each one of us is a child of God. And John just catches it there, and it's like he's living in this revelation of love. It's like he's living completely soaked and immersed in the love of God, that he says, you know, this is so wonderful. You know, how great is the love the Father has lavished upon us. And that word lavish is an extravagant word. It's like poured out freely, abundantly. It's generous. You know, how great is the love that the Father has poured out generously on us to enable us to come into this relationship with him as sons and daughters. And that's who we are. You know, I think John had a real revelation of who the Father was. There's no doubt about that as we read the Gospels, as we read his letters, we see that he really, really understood what Jesus had come to do, who Jesus had come to reveal, and the relationship we could enjoy with our Heavenly Father. And John wrote this letter when he was an old man. And he'd spent his life living in love. He'd spent his life soaking in love. He'd spent his life resting in love. He'd spent his whole life in this relationship with his Heavenly Father. And at the end of his life, he just writes these couple of sentences and he says, "This is so wonderful. This is what it's all about. It's all about the Father lavishing his love upon us so that we would know that we are sons and daughters, so that we would live in this fountain and river of love. You know, that's who we truly are. That's who you and I are. You know, we have this same relationship with the Father that John had and that Jesus had. And, you know, here John is opening it up and he just says so powerfully, this is what it's all about. And I think this is one of the most precious verses in the Bible, because it just brings alive. Every time I read it, there's a sort of a gratitude in my heart that says, yes, thank you, Father. Thank you that you have lavished your love upon me. In the Message, we read it like this. What marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called children of God. That's who we really are. What marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're the children of God. Yeah, isn't that amazing? That's just such a wonderful, wonderful truth that we can know that we're sons and daughters, that we can live in that same relationship that Jesus lived in. And one of the, you know, amazing things I think is that, you know, despite his greatness, despite the enormity of who God is, despite the sort of, you know, the amazing power that he has, he brings us into an intimacy, into a closeness with himself. You know, he doesn't make himself distant. He doesn't hold himself aloof, but he draws close to each one of us. He comes close and he wraps his arms of love around us simply because that he is our Father and we are his children. He doesn't exclude us in any way from his presence. You know, yes, he's the Lord of all. He's the ruler of everything. He's the King of kings. He's all powerful. He's the creator of the universe. He's all these things. But he's my Father. And he's your Father. And you're his son or you're his daughter. And that, he doesn't hold himself at a distance, but he draws close and he draws us into that intimacy. He throws his arms of love around us and he affirms us in the same way as he affirmed his son Jesus. He said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. That's what he says to each one of us. You know, you're my son, you're my daughter. I'm proud of you. I'm pleased with you. I love you. That's the tenderness and compassion that he shows us. He never makes himself distant or afar off. He doesn't hold himself away, but he comes close and he says, you are my children and I love you. You see, we sometimes feel a distance between us and him. We feel like he's a long way off. We feel like we can't relate intimacy with him. We feel like there's a barrier between us and him. But that change came about in the fall when Adam and his wife chose to walk a different way. But that didn't bring about a change in his heart. But it brought about a change in our hearts. See, God didn't change. He was Father before the beginning of time. And he's always been Father. And he will always be Father. He is the eternal Father. You know, it says in Scripture, I am the Lord, I do not change. See, nothing in him changed in the garden. He stayed totally, totally the same. His nature remained exactly the same. His personality remained the same. His love for us did not diminish in any way. But what changed was something in the heart of humanity that put a distance between us and him. And, you know, he remained Father. He stayed the same. We, as far as he is concerned, we continue to be his children. But the eyes of our heart were blinded, so we were unable to see and believe the truth. You know, God didn't cut us out of the family, and he didn't close the door on all of humanity. He remained true to who he was. His personality and character stayed exactly the same. He is Father. He always has been Father. And if he's always Father, then we are always his children. It says in the genealogy of Luke, in Luke's gospel, it traces it right back to Adam, and it says Adam was the son of God. And that was always the plan, was that mankind would be the son and the daughter of God. And so when the human heart was blinded to the truth, when humanity chose to walk a different way, we are still his children because he is still Father. He doesn't change. It was us that caused the division. It was us that caused the barrier between him and us. And one of the things I think some people find difficult to believe is that, you know, it's actually possible to be a child of God and not be a Christian. Because, you know, God is always Father, therefore we are always his children. That doesn't mean everybody will go to heaven. Absolutely not. You know, what's absolutely clear and, you know, no argument about it is that, you know, in order to get our salvation back, we have to come through Jesus and allow him to forgive our sins and allow him to bring that reconciliation back into our hearts so that we can once again walk with him. In Acts, Paul writes to his listeners who are not Christians, he says, "You are all God's offspring." You know, and he's actually quoting one of their Greek poets. And he's explaining that, you know, God is always Father. God hasn't changed. And we're all his offspring. But the only way for us to enjoy that relationship is to come back through Jesus into that intimacy. See, God doesn't start being Father when we're born again. You know, it's not like it's something else. And the moment we come to our big brother Jesus and say, "Jesus, I ask you to forgive my sins. I want to live a new life." It's not like a switch suddenly flicks and God becomes Father. You know, no, he's always Father and he's always looking to welcome his children back. And many of us will have experienced that homecoming and that welcome. You know, the son in Luke 15 didn't stop being a son when he wandered off. He was still a son and the father was still a father. Will you just bear with me for a second and excuse my artwork, but I want to do a little demonstration of what I think this is a little bit like. So those of you who are artists, please forgive what you're about to see. I went through school. This is just a digression. I went through school thinking that I wasn't an artist and I wasn't any good at art. I've now realised that I had a very limited view of what art was, and you're about to see an expression of my limited view of art, because it's not brilliant, and some of you will be much better at it than me. But so please bear with the art. But this is how I kind of see it, okay? That God's plan was for us to enjoy this beautiful relationship with him. That he would be there and we would be there, and there would be an intimacy and a oneness and a unity that we would be held together in this bond of love. But what happened in the garden was this. Is a barrier, a division became between his heart and our hearts. And there was this chasmic separation that puts us apart from him. And this was our doing, not his doing. And there's this separation, and although God's still, which one is it? This one. Although God's still Father and we're still his children, there's not a connection because we've stepped outside of his fathering and we've started to rely on ourselves rather than on him. And the key for us is we need to experience the redemption that Jesus won for us. Because Jesus is the only way for us to come back to the Father. And what redemption simply means is this. It means there was something that was rightfully yours, something that belonged to you. It was your possession. And it's like it was either lost or you had it stolen. And redemption is simply you seeing that again and paying the price and actually buying it back and reclaiming your ownership. And that's exactly what Jesus did. He paid the price so that what belonged to the Father could be restored back to him. So what the Father lost, what the Father had stolen from him, could come back into his rightful possession. That's very, very simply what redemption means. And Jesus did that. And the only way for us to put the pieces back together is to come through Jesus and allow redemption to take place. But the problem is that we have a sort of wrong view of it. And just excuse me a second, we've got a little bit more artwork going on here. The result will be seen in a minute. And it's like we try and cobble it together. You know, we kind of see that something's broken. And, you know, we're going to try and fix it. You know, and the trouble is we don't do a very good job. You see, because when we come to our relationship with God, a lot of the time it's based on fear. And so we try and cobble it back, and there's always sort of a little bit of a barrier. There's always something broken. And it's basically because we're living out of our orphan heart. You know, we might have become a Christian. We might have said, yes, Jesus, I want to be restored back to the Father. But something in our heart is still broken. And what we need is an encounter with the love of the Father. Because when we have that encounter with the love of the Father, what we've tried to cobble together is actually made completely new. And God's plan is totally restored. It's made new. It's put right. And, you know, sadly, when we live in our broken orphan ways, we have this sort of cobbled together thing. And the Father says, no. I want to make all things new. I want to bring it back to the way it was really, really meant to be. And that's what happens when we live in love, is our relationship with the Father is made new and put back to being how it was always meant to be. And, you know, we put it back together and it just kind of doesn't work. But when he fills us with his love, then it is how our relationship with him is how it should be. We can experience and we can live in his fathering once again. See, in John chapter 1, verse 12, it says this: yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And it's like, you know, when we're born again, we're given the right to live in this new relationship with the Father. You know, the relationship is restored and we've been given this right, and that's how we're meant to live. But my question is do we take up that right, and do we live in our true and in our full inheritance? See, many of us continue to live in the ways of the broken world, and our relationship with him is lived out of fear and brokenness, and we kind of sense it's not quite right. And what we need to do is learn to rest in his love. And as we rest in his love, it comes back to how it was meant to be. See, we haven't learned to rest in love. And I believe that this revelation of sonship, I believe this revelation of knowing who we truly are, is about us learning to live in love, learning to rest in love. This is what Paul writes in Galatians chapter 4. He says, because you are sons, and that includes you ladies, because you are sons, because you are daughters, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit which cries out, Abba, Father. And so you are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you an heir. You see, we've got inside of us exactly the same spirit that Jesus had inside him. So everything that Jesus could enjoy with his Father, we can enjoy with our Father, because it's the same spirit. And Jesus could cry out, Abba, Father. You know, God, you really are my dad. And we too can cry that same thing. You know, God, you really are my Father. Because the same spirit that lives in Jesus lives in each one of us. And instead of living in this sort of broken thing where we've tried to cobble it together and make it work, we can say, yes, I really do live in love. Yes, I am experiencing the Father loving me. Yes, I know I've got the same spirit of that Jesus had. I've got that same spirit inside of me, and I can cry out, Abba, Father, you know, God, you really are my dad. See, the Apostle John had learned to rest in love. You know, on that last evening, he's leaning against Jesus. And one of the translators said he was just resting against Jesus's breast. And he was just enjoying the love. And at the end of his life, he spent his whole life resting in love. He'd learned what it meant to live in love. And he could truly, truly say, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, because that is who we are. And we too, each one of us, can say the same thing. You know, how great is the love that the Father has lavished on me, that I might know that I am a son of God, for that is who I am. And each one of us can come to that place where we truly rest in love, where we can say, Father, thank you for this amazing love. I really am your daughter. I really, really am your son. I just want to just pray, and maybe just in the quietness of our own rooms, just put your hand on your heart, and let's just receive what Father wants to do to us this evening. Because I really believe he wants to confirm this word in our hearts, that you are a child of his, that he is your Father, that you are his daughter, that you are his son, that he is loving you right now, that he is soaking you with his love, that you can rest in his love, that you can enjoy that intimacy and relationship, that we can enjoy this, not this, but we can enjoy this. We can enjoy this intimacy and oneness and closeness with our Father. you know, even though he's so big and so wonderful, he's my dad. He's your dad. And just as John learned to rest in love, so too can we rest in love. And let's make this our prayer. Father, thank you that you have lavished your love on me, that I might know that I am your child. For that is who I am. So just put your hand on your heart and just let me just pray and just let's just receive. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you that you love us. Father, thank you that you're loving us right now. Father, thank you that you're pouring your love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. That each one of us can receive and enjoy and live in the fullness of everything that you've done for us. Father, thank you that you've poured the Spirit of your Son, the same Spirit that was in Jesus, into our hearts, that enables us to cry, Abba, Father. God, you really are my dad. Father, thank you that knowing you is so much more than just taking that first step of faith and becoming a Christian. Knowing you is more than just buying a ticket to heaven. But Father, knowing you is learning to live in love and walk in love and rest in love. Father, knowing you is being embraced in your arms of love. And Father, I just ask right now that you put your arms of love around each one of us. That Father, wherever we are in this beautiful world, you would just embrace us with your love. That Father, we would experience and we would know the love of God. Father, just pour your love into our hearts. Father, give us the assurance of who we really are, that we are your children, that you are our dad. Father, thank you for your great love. And Father, that we too, like John, can say, how great, how wonderful, how marvelous is this amazing love that you have so generously poured into my heart, that I know that I am your son, that I am your daughter, for that is who I am. Father, thank you for this amazing love. Father, we just sit in your presence and receive it right now. Father, we sit in your presence and we receive your love. Oh, Father, just pour it in, that we would know without any doubt that we are your children, that you are our Father. Father, whatever today's been like, whatever this week's been like, we want to come back to that place of knowing that you are Father. You are my Father. You're loving me right now. I'm your child. Thank you, Father. Just keep receiving. Just take a moment. John, just feel free to come back and join me, but let's just keep receiving and enjoying his love for us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Just come. Thank you.